It is time to turn our attention to fall cuisine. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are going to talk about cooking and baking fall recipes. We will talk with a culinary expert, and we will welcome your questions for her. And I would love to know, what are your favorite fall dishes? Do you have a favorite fall soup that that you made this weekend even? I'm really in the mood for soup these days. I don't know about you. I think that always happens when there's a chill in the air. So what are you making these days? What fall foods are you devouring? Maybe some squash and pumpkins or root vegetables. Let us know your favorites, and let us know any questions you have for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are very happy to have back with us Monique Hooker, culinary lecturer, teacher at Monique's Culinary Experiences. She is the author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, and she is the owner of Got to Have Pie. Well, that's new. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning, Joy. What a pleasure to be back with you.
Yeah, so what is a Got to Have Pie? Sounds delicious.
Well, I decided to create a small entrepreneurship business by to train local people and give jobs. And we make ready-to-use organic USA organic pie crust.
Oh, wow, that's great.
They're available in many stores, even near you, Joy, so now you can enjoy them too.
Now I don't have to make my own pie crust.
That's right. It's cooking all those wonderful fall pie much easier.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what should I put in that pie crust, Monique?
Oh, it's pear time. Pears and nuts and nuts and pears.
Oh, num, num, num. So
yes.
I know that one of the recipes that you have supplied to us, thank you so very much, you have generously shared with us a handful of recipes that I don't want to divulge in great detail on the air because they are our thank you gift for a pledge during this hour of any amount. So if you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio during this this fall foods edition of the Joy Cardine Show, Monique Hooker has shared with us, I think we have, are there five recipes?
I think
four. Four recipes four. That we will be sharing, including one for a pear tart that sounds delicious. And since I brought up pledge thank you gift, let me give the number. If you want to pledge your support and pick up the recipes that Monique has shared with us, the number to call is 888-202-2552, or you can also pledge online at WPR.org. So again, this is pledge any amount to support Wisconsin Public Radio, to help pay for Wisconsin Public Radio, and we will send you Monique's recipes for carrot and ginger soup, chicken with red wine vinegar, wild rice and mushroom chowder, oh my goodness, and this pear tart. So we are thrilled that you supplied these recipes to help encourage people to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, Monique. But let's get back to that that pear pie filling. This is the season for pears, huh?
Well, you know, pears preserve also. We are not as lucky as so many other states to have pears, like the Anjou pear and the Barlet pears and things like that. But it's a lot of little pears that people are growing everywhere in Wisconsin that are delicious, and they keep quite well, too. And pear is something that it's part of my memories, and I think that's what I'm trying to create here, is trying to get people to think about what they remember. And fall food, it really is one of those things that you remember, because you feel like curling up, we're hibernating, we're getting ready to hibernate, we're cozying up by the fireplace already, I can't believe that, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that gives us that gives us that mood that we are in of things that we want to remember, either grandmother or mother or visiting an older family member somewhere. Food is always there. And I think fall food really does that. There's some comfort in it. And a lot more comfort in fall food than there is in summer food. Summer food is colorful, exciting, and easy to cook. And but fall food is really, it asks you to really dig into it. It's like digging into the dirt or harvesting the nuts off the ground or foraging for mushrooms and harvesting the wild rice. Those pictures are just so warm and wonderful.
Oh yeah, and it is some. There is something very comforting about the fall foods, as you mentioned, including the actual warmth that you get from that wonderful soup that you can make with all the wonderful fall stuff.
Yeah, the aromas and I'm soaking black beans, for example. So they're on the counter soaking, and then I'm going to be doing something with it. So it's a continual thing. It's not something that happens in 5 seconds. Roasting the butternut squash in the oven, the aroma are incredible. Grating a ginger root that was just, you know, freshly dug up somewhere. And even now we grow ginger in Wisconsin, which is amazing. And, you know, the sweet potatoes are in. So not only the texture, but the colors are so wonderful. They really match the beautiful change in our nature. When you look at leaves, you know, turning brown and rusty, the hues are different. And so does the food.
Yeah, we have full lines, Monique. I don't know if that surprises you, but not me. That's people who want to talk about some of their favorite fall foods, and looks like a lot of people have soup on the mind, including Judy and Ripon. Let's welcome Judy. Hi, what are you making these days, Judy?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm not a good cook at all whatsoever, but the one thing that I have experimented with and gotten better and better over time is pumpkin soup. And I am ashamed to say that I use it from the can, the canned pumpkin, but I make that, and that turns out pretty well. With some hearty bread, you can serve it with that. And then the other thing I found is that butternut squash holds its shape much better than an acorn squash does. And you can saute that, and I've sauteed that with apples and with some pasta, with a little bit of fresh grated Parmesan cheese. That tastes really good, too.
Well, good, Judy. I love your creativity there. That's exactly looking, you know, around you and seeing all those beautiful colors. You're talking about texture. And this is what texture is so important. I'm sure, I don't know if you have children, Judy, but texture is so important to really get our children to enjoy the fall food and aroma. Another cook, for example, another cook, rutabaga, is disgusting, excuse the word. But if you grate it and saute it, it's wonderful, and the kids adore it. So it's finding that texture and aroma that is really challenging in the root vegetable for people who are not used to use it. So if you're using pumpkin in a can, let me share with you that Halloween is coming up, and you're all going to be trimming the Halloween pumpkin. What I did with my children is I took all the trimming from the Halloween pumpkin carving and put them in the oven to roast until they were so tender and so wonderful aroma. And what that does, it gets rid of all the moisture that those huge pumpkins have collected. And then you're left with this pulp that really gives you a wonderful soup, a wonderful puree, or even cut into a cheesecake, you know. And really getting the kids involved and getting the family involved and using up that wonderful trimming from the pumpkin and giving memories at the same time to the next generation, I think, is very important.
We are talking with Monique Hooker, culinary lecturer, teacher at Monique's Culinary Experiences, author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, and the owner of Got to Have Pie. And we are talking about fall foods and comforting fall recipes, and we're welcoming your questions for her, and we're welcoming some of your favorite fall foods. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will get back to our tasty and comforting conversation in just a couple of minutes, but because we are in our fall membership drive and because your support is the foundation of our budget, because it is what makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible, we need to welcome in Bill Martins to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now and make a pledge in support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Joy, our listeners continue to come up big during this pledge drive. Last hour, we heard from 31 listeners. So thank you very much for those pledges. That's another goal that we reached this hour, or that during this drive. This hour, our goal is to get 40 pledges.
40 pledges can be done, because with every single pledge during this hour, and I hope we will get 40 and then some, we have a very special thank you gift. So any pledge, any amount, we will send you Monique's Fall Recipe collection that she supplied to us, and you can find out how to make carrot and ginger soup. Yum. I want to make that, and I want to make the wild rice and mushroom chowder.
Ooh.
And I want to make the chicken with red wine vinegar, and I want to make this pear tart. It's a pear something tart. Bill, do you know what that is?
we'll ask Monique would know.
But all of these recipes sound just delicious. And we will send them to you for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for two tickets to on a WPR trip. So not only the recipes, but you could be going on a trip to, say, the Rhine River in Europe, or France, or to Alaska with you.
Yeah.
So that's for a pledge of any amount. You'll be automatically entered into that drawing, and good luck to you. I know you're definitely looking forward to that Alaska trip.
I'm looking forward to the Alaska trip. It should be quite the blast. Wisconsin Public Radio has hosts going on all of these trips. Judith Sears-Poisson is going to France, and Peter Bryant is going on the Rhine River trip. I will be hosting the Alaska trip. And these trips are fundraisers for Wisconsin Public Radio as well, but they should be spectacular. And the winner of this drawing is going to have a difficult time deciding. But again, your pledge this hour will help pay for Wisconsin Public Radio programming, and it will automatically get you the fall recipe collection, and you will automatically be entered into the drawing for the trip. So what a deal. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from the Joy Cardine Show and also the Kathleen Dunn Show, Garden Talk, Away with Words, and many others you've come to rely on.
Wisconsin Public Radio gives you a window on the world like no other. So support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, you give to WPR to support the programs. When you make your pledge right now, ask for that fall recipe collection, and we'll be happy to send that to you with a pledge of any amount. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, I'd like a half-calf small mocha, soy milk, no whipped cream.
Sure, we'll get that for you right away. I see you're doing a search on your phone there. I'm curious, don't you think searching on the web is basically consuming information? But when we actually read a book, we're seeking knowledge?
What?
I mean, modern information theory, what the early computer scientists used when they invented the computer. It just stripped meaning out of everything, you know? Facts are nice, but ideas have real meaning.
Sure. Is that mocha ready yet?
Yeah, just a second. But we have time for one more question. Do you think science and poetry are related?
No.
Really? Not at all? Don't you want a bit of poetry in your own life?
Nope. Just my coffee.
Yes, Steve Paulson could be a barista. But isn't it better that he's on to the best of our knowledge? Your support makes WPR programs possible and gives you something to talk about over coffee. Give now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Well, that would be me. You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we really do count on your gift.
Everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You choose either the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. And you could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the lawyers tell us, we have to tell you, that you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. So you can enter by sending a postcard or by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Not only will a pledge of any amount make you eligible for that drawing, but you can also ask for the fall recipe collection, which we've been talking about this hour, and it's making my mouth water back there at my desk. I love fall. I love the fall foods, especially incorporating pumpkin and squash into soups, kind of that cream-based spicy pumpkin soup. I love stuff like that. And certainly we're getting some inspiration from Monique Hooker this hour on how to do that. So your pledge on any amount will get you that fall recipe collection at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. We have five pledges so far this hour. Thank you so much. 35 to go to make our goal, but we will remind you a little bit later to do that. You can make that pledge as we are talking. It'll only take a moment at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. Let's get back to our conversation with Monique Hooker, culinary lecturer and teacher at Monique's Culinary Experiences, author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, and the owner of Got to Have Pie. And Monique, we have talked to you about cooking with the seasons. Why is that so important?
Well, if you look at the first of all, it's healthier because the nature gives us the food that we need to sustain ourselves and on the weather that we have for each season. Second of all, the food tastes much better. It's closer to you. It's right here in your backyard or at your market. And it's also less expensive if you buy food within the season. And the sustainability of our land and villages and producers and farmers and shopkeepers all depend on this seasonability. So when you're looking at a fall and you look around you, it's easy to see all the foliage. But tie up those foliage to the forest floor, to the nuts and the mushrooms available. You can see in the market things are coming in, and sometimes we are not familiar with them because many of us, especially in the urban area, we are so close to stores where food comes from all over the world, and that is fine too. But even then, you can still tie the season to it. You know, everything has a season. And the food tastes much better. It's riper. There is no reason that I can see not to follow the season.
Yeah.
So it's a learning curve that we all are getting into and lately because we are all getting closer to where our food comes from. And certainly, if you pay attention to the season, you'll know where your food is coming from because seasonal food is right here in your backyard.
Let's talk just a little bit. We won't give all of it away, but one of the recipes that we will be sharing for a pledge of support, wild rice and mushroom chowder. So what kinds of mushrooms should we use for that chowder?
Well, the mushroom that we are getting right now are, it's hard to teach foraging over the phone because that's something I don't want people to go and do unless they really know their mushroom. But they are available in the store. You can start with a shiitake mushroom. You can start with a cremini. And the cremini mushroom is it's a baby portabella, so I would not use a portabella per se for a soup, but I would use a little cremini as a mushroom soup. You can use a little button mushroom. But also you have oyster mushroom, which I think just finished now. You have chicken of the woods. You have all kinds of dry mushroom, even the morel that you've kept from last spring and dry, any kind of mushroom that you've dried also can be soaked and brought back to soft texture that you can continue using them in your soup. The flavors are incredible. And they go so well with wild rice, which has just been harvested up north here. And so, you know, it makes sense. When you're looking at cooking, trying to think about things that grow together in the same season. Carrots, and you were talking about carrots and squash. It's a perfect match. We've got cranberry coming up, carrots, squash, and mushroom. So any of those combinations add a lot of flavor. And don't forget, mushroom also contain a lot of vitamin D. So it is something that we should be adding to our diet. So when you look at seasonal food, look at their vitamins. And all your fall food has a brown color, darker color. They have orange color, yellow color, red color. And those are all those vitamin D and A that we all need for a stronger immune system to really sustain us through those cold weather coming up. Like it or not, we look like it, winter is upon us before you can say boo. So that's another reason to do that. So it takes maybe a little bit more education. It takes a little bit more experiment. But I think, you know, we should always challenge ourselves to try something new at least once a week. And when you prepare wild rice and mushroom chowder, you know, find out the history of wild rice. Find out more about mushroom and ask questions at the store, you know. That's what I like to see Google being used, you know, and asking questions. I don't have to worry about that. You can even send me questions if you wanted to. But you learn the history behind the wild rice.
You have inspired me to do just that, to learn more about the foods I'm making and to try to make something new every week at least. We have other callers, so let's see what Rebecca in Wapaka is doing. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, good morning. A new sustainer as of last week, so thanks for your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call about two soups. I made a root vegetable soup last week that I thought was delicious, but my husband thought it tasted like baby food, unfortunately. But I made a successful one last night, an Italian lentil soup that was very simple with carrots and celery and, of course, lentils. And it was just so tasty with some nice hearty bread. And that one he really liked a lot.
Wonderful. So what did you think of the root vegetable soup, Rebecca?
Well, I thought it was really delicious and comforting. It had squash in it as well. It may have had a little bit of a resemblance of baby food, but but we have a baby on the way, so I guess we're just preparing.
Practice.
Very good. Yes, very good. And, you know, but did you puree it all the way through, or did you leave some chunks in it? Because sometimes that's what we were talking about texture earlier. If you leave some of it not puree, it gives you more of a little more country texture like that. A lot of people like to chew on.
Yep, I did leave a little bit of texture, so I was kind of hoping that would help, but apparently not.
But, you know, he might like it next time. I think sometimes it takes 3 or 4 tries for someone to accept something new.
Well, Rebecca, thank you for sharing that that lentil soup with carrots and such and tomatoes. That sounds really good, too. In fact, I saw a lentil soup recipe. It was online that a friend shared on Facebook, and I wanted to try that because it had kale as well in it, kale and potatoes and carrots. And kale is a fall vegetable, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. But kale, all your dark greens, you know, kale, and also don't forget the cruciferous, all your cabbage, are now beginning to taste wonderful. All those plants, including kale, have been hit by really cold weather we've had the last few days and still going this week. So that makes their sulfur content less prominent, which makes it more palatable, a little sweeter side to it. Otherwise, they are getting pretty strong aromatic sulfur flavor that we don't like in cabbage and kale family. And with the kale especially, it's so many things you can do. It can always add it all chopped up. And there's a little secret to chopping kale, too, that I like to share. You know, if you take your kale and rub it, massage it, and rub it between your hand really hard, you know, it softens up the leaves and makes it more palatable for little ones.
Oh.
Because otherwise it can be pretty rough, and if you chop it too fine, then it just disappears in the soup, which is not something I like to do. I like to have, like, pieces of kale I can chew on, because your vitamins intake are much better if you can chew on your food a little bit more. And so, but by rubbing between your two hands, like if you are rolling, you know, like a ball between your hands, or you're massaging, like someone would say, it makes it easier to on your palate to chew on it.
Yeah. Monique, let me jump in because we have to take a short pause, and we will remind listeners you can join with any questions you have about fall cooking or any favorite fall recipes or dishes that you would like to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with the culinary expert Monique Hooker. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about fall recipes and fall foods with our guest, who is she's a cooking instructor. She's a cookbook author. She is an advocate for cooking seasonal foods. Monique Hooker is with us, and we welcome your questions for her, and we welcome any fall recipes that you would like to share. Let me go next to Joe in Watertown. Hi, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was just basically calling. Me and my wife actually run a bakery, so a little bit on the dessert side, I guess. We've done a couple ginger tarts with candied pecans on it, and it's got peaches in it, or pears. I'm sorry about that. And then we've also been doing, obviously, a lot of pumpkin pie, a lot of apple stuff, crumble top stuff, which I think is obviously just really seasonal. And as far as soups go, I've made, just the other day I was at the farmer's market and I got some shiitake mushrooms, so I made a shiitake mushroom soup. It was just fantastic. A chicken noodle soup recently, triple pepper, tomato roasted soup. That was really good. So that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Joe, Wisconsin Public Radio isn't too far away from Watertown.
Yes, I know. You guys are right down there in Delafield, I believe.
Well, close enough. But, wow, that is really something. So there we go. There is so much you can make with fall foods, Monique.
Yes, there's so much you can do. And I'm so glad, Joe, you're doing that. I'm hoping that, and I hope that you're getting a lot of support in your seasonal cooking and your bakery. I would love to stop there on my way down to Chicago someday. But I'm glad to hear that shiitake. I can just, my mouth is watering when I hear other people's cuisine, too. And it really warms me up to see that people are really making effort to really pay attention to the season and the mushrooms. So, yes, and building memories, and I think, everyone should have something that the next generation can remember coming home to eat, and one of those things is a pie. A pie is so close to our heart, I think, especially in the wintertime. Thanksgiving pie or Halloween pie, we got all these holidays coming up. And this is another thing I wanted to bring out. When you have, all our food on the holidays, when you think about it, think about the dish that we cook on holidays. And the reason they were is because that was the food that was in season then, when looking at the turkey for Thanksgiving with chestnut or pecan or cranberry. This is another one that's coming up. Mm-hmm. Cranberry are in season now, too, and being harvested as we speak. So this is why it makes sense that the holiday season are what they are, because when they were created, that's the only thing they had around them at the time. So let's bank on that. Let's tag to that. Let's remember that. Let's bring those recipes out now and prepare for the days to come.
Yeah, let me jump in because we will talk about some of the ways we can use some of those fall foods. Like I know that we have a listener who wants to talk about cranberries coming up, and we'll talk more about our favorite fall recipes, our favorite fall pies, our favorite fall soups. Please do join in. But right now, I need to welcome in Bill Martins because this is our fall membership drive, and we are on our way toward a 40 pledge goal this hour, Bill.
We are, and we've got a little work to go. We're looking for 27 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so to be able to stay on track. And when you pledge, you'll be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. So donate any amount during our fall membership drive, and you could travel the Rhine River in Europe, or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France, or see Alaska's beautiful scenery. Joy is leading that tour. And you can help pay for the Joy Cardine Show when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Any pledge, you're automatically entered into that drawing, but you are also going to be entitled to our little packet of Monique's fall recipes. We are offering this as our thank you gift, a fall recipe collection from Monique Hooker. She is the author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, and she has shared with us recipes along with some special tips to make a perfect carrot and ginger soup, to make chicken with red wine vinegar, to make wild rice and mushroom chowder, and a pear tart. So those are some of the fall recipes that Monique is supplying as our thank you for your pledge of any amount during this hour when we are talking about fall foods. WPR.org, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
That one-ups the lunch that I packed with me today.
Right.
I got some boring old chicken and some other stuff. I'd much rather have the mushroom and some of that other stuff there. And I could really go for a nice big slice of cranberry apple pie.
Ooh.
I love making that every fall, and it's you just get the right mix of apples and cranberries, and it's scrumptious.
Well, Bill, we should add that recipe because you make a really good cranberry apple
thank
pie.
You.
So we should have. Why didn't we think of that? Yeah, maybe we can still add Bill's cranberry apple pie
it's
recipe.
It's not a test kitchen recipe.
It's
but
test kitchen. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we can do that because you think of pies when you think about fall.
Absolutely, yeah.
So make your pledge right now to help pay for Wisconsin Public Radio programming. This is listener-supported radio. We depend on listener support to pay for the programming that you value. And you will get, as your thank you during this hour, the fall recipes that we are talking about. And you will automatically be entered into that drawing for your choice of three fantastic trips, either to Europe on the Rhine River or to France or to Alaska. WPR.org, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
Again, we're looking for 27 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. We've been doing so well through this drive and not worried yet, but we do have a little bit of work to go, so we need 27 of you to step up to the plate and take just a couple of minutes to make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
How'd you like to cruise up the Rhine River, visiting beautiful towns in Germany and France? That could be you this December, enjoying Christmas markets, tasting fine cheeses, walking through picturesque towns. You'll even visit Beethoven's home and enjoy classical music throughout the trip. This tour is just one of three trips you'll get to choose from when you win our Choose Your Own Adventure drawing during this membership drive. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn all the details at WPR.org/drawing, or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Yes, good luck indeed. Do make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Bill Martins encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. We have a goal of 40 pledges this hour. We're looking for 27 more of you to make that pledge. And when you do, a pledge of any amount will not only make you eligible for one of those trips, but you can also ask for the fall recipe collection that we've been talking about this hour, and it's get you a great little mini cookbook there to impress your friends and family at your fall dining feasts coming up here. So that can be yours for a pledge of any amount at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Judy from Madison, who says, I appreciate waking up to news and intelligent conversation in the morning, and the enjoyment and appreciation continues throughout the day. Judy, thank you so much for your pledge. And Susan from Washburn says, Joy Cardine's show and WPR's statewide reporting get my usual support of $5 a month, but I had to add $25 more in memory of Mike Simonson. He served the Northland well, and we will miss his work. Oh, we will too miss Mike Simonson, Susan. Yes, for those who did not hear, Mike Simonson, our longtime reporter, from our Superior Bureau. He's been with Wisconsin Public Radio for 25-plus years. Passed away on Sunday morning yesterday, and it's we're still all very shocked and saddened by that news. There is more information on a statement that is posted on the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page, and we will be updating that post with more information on any sorts of service arrangements as that information becomes available. So thank you so much, Susan and Judy, and everyone who has pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio, because Wisconsin Public Radio means something to you, because you understand that Wisconsin Public Radio is a service that that benefits the state of Wisconsin through news and conversation. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
21 more pledges is what we're looking for in these last 15 minutes, so we're getting there, but we need you to act now and ask for that fall recipe collection and be eligible for those one of three trips to the Rhine River, France, or to Alaska. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. Time to get back to a very delicious conversation with Monique Hooker, who is the author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. She is a culinary lecturer and teacher and a seasonal food advocate. She is also the owner of Got to Have Pie. We have more information on that posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we are talking about fall foods, our favorite fall foods, recipes, soups, stews, pies. Let us know yours. Anna in Marquette, Michigan has been waiting since we started. Anna, thank you so much for waiting. What you have to share sounds delicious.
Well, before I share it, I would just like to concur with Monique said about the eating seasonally. And something for me that especially came up this season was when I sliced and bit into that first ripe pear. Is this exquisite joy of a food that you haven't eaten and you've been waiting for the season for that fruit or vegetable to come ripe, that just does not have the same flavor when a piece of produce has traveled 5,000 miles or more to come to your plate out of season. So there's really, even beyond nutrition, there is this art, I want to call it like an art of joy and exquisite taste when something is just ripe in season and you've been waiting for it to come into season. And this year we were not fortunate to have a good pear harvest on our pears, but a friend did and called and said, we are overrun with pears. Oh. And so I, of course, grabbed my ladder and ran over to their pear tree and spent 2 days harvesting pears and taking an idea from cranberry apple pie. I thought, well, why not do cranberries and pears? Mm-hmm. And I'm gluten-free, so I often will make things that other people would put into a pie crust, and I just bake it or saute it or make a compote. So I made a compote of pear, cranberries, and some blueberries that I had picked and frozen earlier in the season, and it was amazing.
I can just imagine. I can see the colors. It's beautiful. Yeah. And you are so right. And that, I think that what you're looking for, I think, is that anticipation that builds up to get to that perfect moment of biting into something you haven't tasted all year, you know. So every season brings you that really sense of anticipation, and I think that's what is wonderful about the seasonal food, too.
That really sounds delicious. But, Anna, you also made a soup that sounded attractive.
Yes, it's called Caldo Verde. It's a Portuguese green soup, and it is commonly made with kale, although I use whatever green I happen to have. But a good sturdy green like kale is the best, and it has a much better flavor once it's been cooked than some other greens do. And so it was traditionally made with a Portuguese sausage, but we make our own venison sausage. And so we use that in there, a little bit spicy Italian seasoned venison sausage and black beans I traditionally put in it, and potatoes. And you cook it for a good long time till everything still has good texture but is very soup-like. And it is like sunshine in a cup, and it's warm and it's hearty, and it's...
I love that, sunshine in a cup.
I like the choice of words there. It's wonderful. I can just see it. I can visualize you sitting at a table with a nice big bowl of that wonderful soup.
Boy, talk about seasonal and local foods. Venison. We have that. There we go.
There we go. Venison chili. Here we go.
You know, Bill was mentioning, Bill Martins was saying that he had just a boring piece of chicken with him for lunch today. Any tips for... for Bill, so his chicken isn't so boring?
Well, I think, you know, this is where also the condiments come in, you know. I mean, I make chutney in the fall with my wild plums that I gather out there. And chutney is a wonderful thing to take the boredom out of any kind of sandwiches or anything like that. So definitely that's something I would add to it. When we're looking at... picking up food for the flavor of food in the fall, we are turning away from herbs and we are turning towards spices. And we're looking at ginger, we're looking at sage. Sage is not a summer herb, but sage is a wonderful fall and winter herb because it's not as musty. This is why we related to it at Thanksgiving, for example. But this is where Bill could just... sprinkle a little bit of that Vietnamese cinnamon on that chicken with maybe a little bit of mayonnaise and mustard, and it'd be a wonderful combination of condiment to put on his chicken, Bill. Let's look at the spice world. And the spice world around you doesn't mean spicy. It means, you know, the seeds instead of the flower or the leaves. It means the bark of a spice instead of the leaf or the basil. I know we've all been making pesto all this summer, and it's time to put it away for a little bit and bring it out when it was really, really cold and brings you back into, oh, looking forward to a nice warm summer. But this time I would not use pesto yet. I don't like to use pesto until like January when I'm really getting into tired of the winter already or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at spices, spices also help you digest this heavier food that we are cooking, beans and squashes and sweet potatoes and potatoes and kale. It does excite your digestive enzyme and it really helps you digest that food. And this is where herbs, it's a cooling, herb cools you in a summertime, and spices warm you in the wintertime. And this is where we have to look at food almost like a blanket that we're putting on, just like the bears hibernating. We are hibernating in a way. And so it's what finding that food that sustains us through that hibernation. And that's what fall food does, sustain us through the winter. And most of all, food is also storable. This is where the crawl space and this is where the root cellars come in, where you can store all your root vegetables. They store very well through the winter. And we have to reach out a little bit more into spice. And I know everybody's got spices at home and can look in them and experiment with them and grinding them. With a coffee grinder or in a mortar or in a pestle, nice way to grind the spices, to toast the spices in a pan before you start your recipes, another way of bringing out that wonderful flavor that we seem to relate to when we go out to ethnic restaurants, like wonderful little holes in the wall in Madison where you can smell the spices coming out the window. That's because they're toasting the spices before they start their lamb recipe or their fish recipe or their soup recipe.
Well, you know what, Monique, it's almost time for us to go. We didn't get to talk very much, and I know we don't want to go into great detail, but I love the thought of this carrot and ginger soup. And you say ginger is... that's a locally grown commodity.
Yes, it's a commodity now here. There's a lot of
farmer, Harmony Valley, right here in our backyard that goes down to Madison, has been growing ginger. You know, so it is available here. I don't know how far it is, but if it's, you know, it's grown in the United States and getting closer to us here. Sweet potatoes are grown now in Wisconsin as well. So because climate change or farmers willing to experiment with growing more sustainable and diversity, I think it's something we should look into.
Yeah. Could you leave us with one last tip for those of us who want to get creative in the kitchen this fall?
Well, one last tip is to whenever you make this fall, make sure you make enough to put some away in the freezer because, you know, fall food takes a little time to cook most of the time, either your squashes, your mushrooms, and your wild rice, all that. So I always make extra. I always double my recipe, and I put some in the freezer for the days ahead. So that way you don't have to do it over and over again, which is a good thing to think about, and because we all have very time restraint, and I think that's the best thing you can do, especially if you do stews or hearty chilies and things like that. Make a big pot of it and put some away and maybe share some with your friends and family. So that's one good tip I like to give.
Monique, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Joy. It's always a pleasure to be with you and with all your listeners out there. And do pledge.
Thank you very much. Monique Hooker is the author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. She's also the owner of Got to Have Pie. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.